remember when you were first thinking about this book and you said, I want to write a book about Rome, and you had books all over your house that you checked out of the library. And here we are.
I mean, several years later.
So what was the first allure and what kept you going?
So I actually went to Rome. I took myself on a trip there out of writer's block, actually. I had published Freeman and was stuck for an idea and thought if I could just clear my brain of the English language altogether, then somehow I could refill the creative tank. And so I went to Rome for a month in 2015 without the explicit intention of writing about it at all. And of course, once you're there, it's such an inspirational place. It's just filled to the brim with history and art and ghosts. So I started surreptitiously taking notes in a little notebook, and then the notes got bigger and more elaborate. And I realized that the way Rome approached history, which is to contain all of its layers at once at the same time,
right,
never covering over any part of it, that's the way I approach history as a historian, as a historical novelist, that all of the layers of the past keep bubbling up again and again. And so once I sort of tapped into that similarity between Rome's worldview and my worldview, I thought, okay, this is a novel that I need to write.
And you're a scholar as well as a novelist. You're an historian, and you have an eye for these convulsive periods of history, you know, when all kinds of things are bubbling up from all directions. So talk about the time periods you cover and the characters who represent them.
Well, moving chronologically, I start in the second century with a young child martyr named Prisca, who is living at this time of extreme rupture in terms of religion. So the state religions are battling these sort of cult religions, which are battling Christianity. Which is not at all established or seen as it's a danger to society. And you have this little girl who is searching for a way to have a voice. And for her, hearing about Christianity sort of provokes this huge change within her. And then I moved to the 9th century, which was maybe the hardest to research because we just don't talk about the 800s very much in society. And I look at the character of Felix, who is a monk in charge of watching the crypt. So his job is to sit around with all the dead bodies of the monks that have been propped up on these sort of toilet-like spaces in the basement of the church and to contemplate mortality. And contemplating mortality in the 9th century meant thinking about the role of the popes, who were getting increasingly corrupt, invasions from Arabs who brought their own religion to Italy and had very different ideas about God and the devil. And then I move to the 16th century and focus on a character named Giulia de' Medici, who is a historically real person, who is trying to figure out how to be an assertive, powerful, independent, wealthy woman in this period when women were still very much expected to stay in the shadows of their husbands. An interesting detail about her is that she also comes from African ancestry, and so her color becomes an extra burden that she is dealing with in this time period. And then I skip ahead to the 21st century, to basically the modern era, and tell the story of Tom, who is a research biologist studying these tiny creatures named ostracods, which are a kind of crustacean. And as he is looking at the smallest things in his world, the largest things in his world are also sort of falling apart. So his marriage is crumbling and he's on the verge of having an affair, struggling to be a good father to his daughter.
This is very much a book about love and a book about faith and the spiritual journey across time. And I'm curious, what did you bring from your own spiritual background to the writing of this book?
That's a great question. I did not grow up in a particularly religious family. My father is actually a religious studies professor, so he brought all kinds of religious worldviews into our home as we were growing up in terms of teaching us. And so I've always been fascinated by faith as a way that humans organize their lives. So I feel a little bit like a spiritual outsider, like a bird watcher of religion, but I love teasing it apart and figuring out why it makes people do what they do, because it is such a strong motivator, this idea of belief in something larger than the human spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think it can often make people do beautiful things. In terms of my own spirituality, though, I think I'm such a believer in humanity that that's where I focus my energies in terms of faith. The opportunity to make God and the devil characters just as a fiction writer, it was just such a rich terrain to explore.
So what about you as a writer? What has this done for you in terms of setting yourself this challenge, overcoming that writer's block, taking on such a big topic?
Yeah. I mean, it was terrifying to start because my first two books were set in the South.
Right.
I'm a Southern writer. I write about the South. They were both in the late 18th century, which is the period I did my dissertation on. I had all the research at the ready. And so to start with a blank page and think, I want to write a book about Rome over the course of 2,000 years.
No, history, nothing here I come.
About Roman history. Yes. It was a huge leap of faith. And it was a challenge to myself to do something that I had never done before. And in the writing of it, I just felt such freedom and release. And I felt like I was starting from square one. I knew nothing. I got to learn so much about these characters, about these time periods in history, about this like vast swath of humanity. And I think it was just a reminder to me to never be afraid as a writer, which is so much easier said than done, because writers, like all humans, approach everything with fear. What can we accomplish? What will we fail at? This was a book that I certainly thought could be ripe for failure if I didn't.
Oh, it's a giant leap of faith.
Yeah.
And leaps of faith are everywhere in it.
Yes.
That's like a little gift to yourself, I would think, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I will read everything you write.
Thank you, Susan.
We've been talking with Katie Simpson-Smith, whose wonderful new book is The Everlasting. Don't miss it. Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan.